question that we had together, what would you describe, what would you say is the key to Trinadapi, if you were asked that question, and especially based on our discussion previously, what's the key to Trinadapi? Association? There's no wrong answer here, so just kick it out. Honesty? Relationships? I would say yes to all these. It's a big ring of keys that we need to unlock Trinadapi. What's that? That's right, like the janitor of the, like Jitendriya Prabhu's ring, key ring, that many we need to unlock Trinadapi. Jayadwaita Maharaj was giving a class and he was asked a question off topic from the class, but it was a wonderful question. And I'm grateful to the devotee that asked it. He said, Maharaj, you've been chanting for 40 years. And even that's not, Maharaj has been chanting practically 50 years now. As a celibate monk, sannyas for 4 decades. He said, Maharaj, what is your realization of the holy name after 40 years? And this is where some of you are laughing. That means you listen to Jayadwaita Maharaj's classes also. You can imagine. So, this is the answer for the key to Trinadapi that I like the most right now in my own personal life. The key to Trinadapi is Durdaivam. That was Maharaj's answer of his realization of the holy name after decades of chanting. Durdaivam. Which of course comes in the shloka just before the Trinadapi verse in the Shikshastakam. What does Durdaivam mean? Unfortunate. Despite the glories of the holy name, right? The Shikshastakam, it's called the verses of the 8 instructions of Mahaprabhu, but really there's only 1.5 instructions in the whole Shikshastakam. It's like 1.5 instructions. The rest of the Shikshastakam is a description of what happens when you follow that 1.5 instructions. So, although the holy name is so glorious, as we hear about in the first shloka, and it facilitates the deepest experience that the soul can have, as we hear in the second shloka, so easily, in an unprecedentedly simple and available way, Durdaivam, still, I'm so unfortunate. I don't have a taste for this chanting. That recognition of the glory of the holy name and the availability of the holy name and still our avoidya, still our tendency to avoid connecting with Namprabhu, that is embarrassing. That is humiliating. And that brings real humility. Humility is a very kind of sexy thing in the Hare Krishna culture. As I mentioned earlier, vulnerability. We never had a poster on the wall that said, be vulnerable in elementary school or middle school. Similarly, we never saw a poster on the wall that said, be humble. But we have seen those on ISKCON Desire Tree, right? Humility is a desirable quality for a devotee. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita equates humility and prema. He calls them the same thing. You don't actually have humility until you have prema. He calls it dainya. This is that deep humility of a true Vaishnava, a pure devotee. The key to Trinadapi is our recognition of the accessibility and availability and glory of the holy name and our unwillingness to connect to it. But as we discussed previously in the morning session, the holy name, Krishna, etc., they're a little far off. They're a ways away for most of us, that direct experience of a connection with them. However, the mercy of the sadhu, the mercy of Sri Guru, is that they've come down here with us. That's why they have lotus feet. They're in the mud, but they're untouched by that mud. They're of a different nature and quality altogether, but they're willing to come down to the mud for our sake and make themselves available, make their fragrance something that we can smell even in our low position. So this second discussion, we were going to enter into Kirtaniya Sadahari practically. And I would like to relate it to our first discussion by having a whiteboard brainstorming session around one particular idea, which is an idea that many devotees have said and expressed and felt in different ways. I know I have, and I know many others of you have. I've had these discussions with you, and I'm sure many more have who I haven't had this particular discussion with. And this idea is the idea that the old days of the Hare Krishna movement were more exciting to be a part of than the present day. Has anybody ever had that idea, heard that discussion, indulged in that discussion? Yeah, the old days were better than the present. So we're going to entertain that thought. We're going to make a simplistic chart here. And talk about why the old days are good and why the today is bad. Now this is an oversimplification, but sometimes those are helpful. So just start shooting it out and it doesn't have to be a one word answer, but I'll consolidate it as I write it up here. What was good about the old days? Absolute faith, full faith in Srila Prabhupada's instructions. What else was good about the old days? Booming ashrams. Yeah, booming. Practically everyone lived in the ashram. Can we just say that? Because that's how I hear that said. Everyone lived in ashram. What else was good about the old days? No smartphones. Yeah, technology. Less. Naivety. Idealism. Clean slate. Yeah, that's similar. Well, but that's so important, actually. So, yes. Rapid growth. Hare Krishna explosion. What else? Men and women had equal opportunity. So, yeah. Men, women, equal opportunity. Very nice point. What else? Desperate for change. Are you talking about in the movement or kind of socially? At that time, yeah. The whole culture of the world, really, right, was kind of this like, something needs to change. I'm with you. Yeah, desperate for change. Any others? That's somebody we haven't heard from yet. Prasadam was better. Everything cooked in ghee. We'll just put ghee. Physical presence of Prabhupada. Very well put. Very sensitively put and true. Physical presence of Srila Prabhupada. I think we'll end on that one. We have a full side. Of course, okay, this devotee's shaking his hand. Less Indians. Wow, okay. Less Indians. Since you, Prabhu, since he's an Indian, I can write it. On the record, I didn't go there. Okay. Today's bad. Would you like to start us off, Prabhu? Thank you, Temple President Mother Humangi. Too many Indians. Okay. Prasad. So hold on now. We could actually like there's a natural negative, right? So let's try not to repeat ourselves. There's a natural negative. There's everyone who said something over here is implying something over here. So let's see if we can come up with some novel situations also. Prahlad. Yeah. People less open. I hope you all forgive my handwriting. That's a not easily put into a bullet point. Empowerment of young people. Lack of empowering. We'll stick with empowering. At this point, no, but that probably would have been a good idea earlier. But we're almost finished now. Thanks, Prabhu. A lot more social issues. A lot of anti-religious sentiment. That's what you're going for? Okay. Religious atmosphere. What else? I think that's a great point. A lot of anti-religious sentiment out there. Yeah, okay. Government laws. What else? Can we just call that the internet? We'll just knock out a big one. Yeah, the internet. The age of information is really just the age of inflammation of all of your anarthas. Interinstitutional politics. Yeah. Institutional politics. Any others? More grihastas. Oh no, I'm with her. Cause it's the natural negative of this one over here. Everyone lived in the ashram, meaning the temple. And it's... Yeah, right. Which many people have said. I'm not saying any of these are true or actual. We're not saying yes or no to these, but I've heard a lot of people say that. Who's heard that? That because there's so many grihastas, that's why... Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like that. Lack of urgency. We'll end there. Lack of urgency. Okay. One more. Go ahead. Misinterpreting. Okay, yeah. I think that might have been where Hari Shyam was going also. Too much information out there. Misinterpreting. Okay. We're going to stop there. So, we have a pretty solid list that starts to suss out this idea that the old days were good and that the new days are bad. And the challenge really comes to us because we're in these new days. Are we allowed to bring to Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada this list of excuses? But do we? Raise your hand if you've ever brought one of these excuses to the lotus feet of your spiritual master or Prabhupada or Mahaprabhu. I know I have. I complain all the time about these things. So I'm speaking from a place of trying to personally, I'm addressing some of the things that I've been trying to avoid over the past few years in my attempt to be a part of the Krishna consciousness movement. In this conversation with you guys today, if you'll forgive me, I'm going off notes now because time is of the essence. The opportunity for Kirtaniya Sadahari is often stereotyped that we have to become a Haridas Thakur or we have to become a traveling book distributor. We have to become a sannyasi. And then we can do Kirtaniya Sadahari. Again, just a show of hands. Who's ever kind of felt that that's the situation? You'll have to wait until some circumstance changes and then Kirtaniya Sadahari. So, in Mahaprabhu's Leela, there's two particular devotees that I'd like to call our attention to now. And then I'm going to bring us into some group discussion after, yeah. There's Korma Brahmana, and there's the Maharashtrian Brahmana. Korma Brahmana is the more well-known example. What was the situation for Korma Brahmana? He wanted to go with Mahaprabhu. And what did Mahaprabhu tell Korma Brahmana when Korma Brahmana said, "My Lord, I want to surrender everything to you and stay by your side for the rest of your pastimes here on this planet"? Don't be a crazy fellow. Stay at home. Don't move. Stay right where you are. Now, Mahaprabhu's instruction to Korma Brahmana seems, from the perspective of a list like this, to be inhibiting his devotional life. Because the Korma Brahmana wants to go back to 1973, where everything was perfect, and everyone was surrendered to Prabhupada, and following his instructions with all their heart, and living in the ashram, and not worried about wife and children and job and who got elected to the office of mayor in Istanbul. And it seems like the right thing to do. It seems like it makes sense. Yeah, why not just travel with Mahaprabhu? Forget all of those other situations that you don't have to deal with anymore because now you're traveling with Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu himself said, no, stay where you're at. And it's significant that it was a Brahmana that he was told to stay, because that he's a Brahmana implies that he was very qualified. He was following already. It wasn't like some of the Haribol Bhaktas that crash land out of the material world and into the ashram at your local North America Hare Krishna temple and try to let go of decades and probably lifetimes of bad habits in a few months to come up to the Brahminical standard. He was born in good samskar, and he was following what he was taught by his parents, and he was performing rites and ceremonies and rituals and sacrifices his whole life. And now the fruit of all that was that he was meeting Mahaprabhu. He was qualified to walk away, or at least as qualified as anybody else we could imagine. And yet Mahaprabhu said, stay where you are. Stay where you are and do what? Wallow in family life? Follow your boss every dictation, no matter what? No, of course not. What was Mahaprabhu's request or instruction to the Korma Brahmana, along with stay where you are? Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Preach. Stay where you are and preach. Chant Hare Krishna and share with others the chanting of Hare Krishna from where you are. And this is not a concession from Mahaprabhu, but a strategy and a recognition of an opportunity to spread the Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu wanted to use personalities like Korma Brahmana, and in fact did, to infiltrate segments of society, to influence others in ways that traveling sannyasis and large bands of mendicants wouldn't. So in our movement today, there's something called bridge preaching. Who's heard about bridge preaching? And it's this idea that we make a kind of concession of Krishna consciousness. We kind of edit it for an audience to try and lure them in. Eventually we'll give them the whole thing, the real thing, the complete thing. But for right now, just whatever they need to come closer to us. It has a negative connotation, bridge preaching. But some people find it necessary, it's important, it's valuable, but it's not the highest thing, it's not the best thing. And that discussion around bridge preaching, which is actually a different one from what we're having right now, distracts us from another kind of preaching, which is what Korma Brahmana and the Maharashtrian Brahmana were engaged in, and something that I'm going to encourage you guys to also connect to in a deeper way, as I'm trying to encourage myself. And that's leverage preaching. Say it with me. Leverage preaching. What does leverage mean? Yeah, taking an opportunity or taking advantage of, yeah, your strength, some influence that you have. Each of you right now are in a position of leverage in the lives of other people. And particularly, what kind of leverage are we interested in? We're interested in developing faith and trust. I mentioned earlier to you guys that I used to sell books door to door. And part of that program was asking other people to come do that. How often do you think people would say yes when I asked them, hey, would you like to come work 18 hours a day selling books door to door 6 days a week with your summer's vacation? How often would people say yes to that proposition? Not very often. But the people that would say yes were the people that had some trust in me. They had some faith in me. They saw who I was, they saw what I was enjoying in life, and they wanted to get some of that. And so they thought, okay, well, Devin is making a lot of money with this company, and he's developing some valuable life skills, so let me also go do that with him so I can get those things. So in the name of seeing 1973 as this ideal situation, we actually often miss out on, because of creating all these excuses, the opportunities for leverage that we have in our everyday life to be magical instruments of Prabhupada and Krishna. And it's that meditation, it's that anticipation, it's that expectation that is Kirtaniya Sadahari. That constant anticipation, looking for the opportunity to glorify Krishna, not necessarily by sitting down and chanting japa all day, or dressing the deities, or distributing a book. Because if Krishna was only in those activities, he would be a very limited person. But Krishna is an unlimited person. He can be present in any activity, as Arjuna demonstrates on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he's getting ready to try to kill his grandfather as a devotional service. If Arjuna can kill his grandfather as a devotional service, you can go to the office as a devotional service. But it takes a certain dynamic of your consciousness. It takes letting go of some stuff. So leverage preaching. Are you guys catching my drift with this? Leverage preaching. Recognizing where you're at and how that's exciting to Mahaprabhu. It's his fault you're there. He wants you there. He strategically placed you to infiltrate the material energy's influence and redirect it, dovetail it for his purposes. And this is indicated by the Maharashtrian Brahmana's attitude. The Maharashtrian Brahmana, it was from his desire and inspiration that Mahaprabhu eventually preached to who? Prakashananda Saraswati. 60,000 disciples, all of them made bhaktas in a moment by Mahaprabhu. But it was this devotee's desire that gave the impetus for Mahaprabhu to take on that task. And there's a very interesting shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Maharashtrian Brahmana, it's said by Kaviraj Goswami, he had a determination. I either have to preach to these people because they are offending Mahaprabhu. They're all saying this guy's sentimental. He's not following any of the rules. He's just running around chanting and dancing. This is no good. It's just, you know, shallow stuff. The real thing is Vedanta. And if he was actually a sannyasi, that's what he'd be doing. He was hearing this kind of talk all over town. It was paining his heart. And his resolution was, I either have to preach to these people, I have to change their minds about Mahaprabhu, or I have to die. That was his idea. Not, let me move to Chicago. Let me move to Vrindavan, where everyone likes Krishna already. He said, I either have to preach to these people or I have to give up my body. Imagine if each of us took on that determination, made that resolution. I'm not going to tolerate the lack of Krishna consciousness around me anymore. I'm not going to be implicated in it any longer. I'm actually going to take a stand. And from where I'm at, start to make a change. Imagine what the movement and the world would look like 3 or 4 years from now if each of us had that individual sense of responsibility and didn't wait for the superhero sannyasis to fly around the world and wave their magic wands and change everything. Because they are superheroes, but they're waiting for us to step up and do our part too. So, I have a video now that I'd like to share with you guys. And it's off of a website, if the projector could be reawakened. Thank you. This is something that we put together at the Harmony Collective. You'll recognize most of the devotees, all the devotees in the video, actually. And Nandini Prabhu, who is just here, he edited the video, shot it, put it together. So it's a community project of ours. It's a website called EachOneCarryOne.com. EachOneCarryOne.com. Everyone just take out, if you have it with you, take out your cell phone right now and bring up that webpage, EachOneCarryOne.com. The very simple idea behind this website is that the position of leverage we all have, the opportunity to utilize in Srila Prabhupada's service, is to keep a few of his transcendental literatures, a few pieces of Krishna's prasadam, and some mantra or invitation cards with us at all times. Because we all carry a bag for our wallet and our cell phone, and our checkbook, and etc. Even guys carry bags now. Our laptops and our iPads and our Kindles. Why don't we have a perfection of yoga in our bag at all times? Why don't we have some maha from Sri Kishore Kishori at all times? Who's ever met somebody and thought to themselves, gosh, I wish I had some book to give to this person. Gosh, I wish I had some prasadam to give to this person. Gosh, I'm so dumb for not. Well, this is an effort to change that. The header at the top. Pleasing Srila Prabhupada is easy. I am only one person, but because all of you have kindly cooperated with me, this movement has now become a success all over the world. Even if one does not read the book, but simply holds it and sees it, he is benefited. So, please forgive me, but I'm going to leave you all now. There's a devotee in our community named Atarva. He's a young man, 21 years old, and he's in the hospital now, and he's probably going to leave his body within the next few hours. So his dad has asked, of course, the devotees to come. It's a family I happen to be very close with. It's a God family. So I'm going to take your leave. I'm very grateful for all of your time and encouragement. Hari Shyam is going to take over after we watch the video. What I had asked him to do was help you guys break off into groups of about four, and after you watch the video, discuss some strategies, some ideas, some inspiration you have around using your particular position as a mom, as an employee. Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori, Jai Shri Shri Gorni Tai, Jai Jagannath Pali Subhadra Maharani. As a person living in this world today, what could you do from where you are and who you are to other people? The relationships of trust you already have. How could you share Krishna in a more dynamic way? This is the most basic of all ways that each one of us should take the response. I use that word very rarely, but I'm going to use it here. Each of us should take the responsibility of doing at least this much. But then each of us also have our unique dynamic that we can bring to the table. And that, I argue, is what was actually good about the good old days that can be very present in today's so-called less than desirable bad situation, is this anticipation that I can do something wonderful for Srila Prabhupada right now. I don't have to wait for the monthly Sankirtan festival. I don't have to wait for the holy name retreat before I can feel connected. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Akya. I can make the instruction of the spiritual master my life, my heart and soul, each moment of every day by taxing my brain, as Srila Prabhupada said he did for us, by taxing his brain. By taxing my brain, what can I do for him from where I am right now? I have been put here not because of my karma, but because of the Lord's desire that I serve him from this place in this way. There are things for me to see here and do here that he wants from me. because of who I am to him and he is to me. And I will discover that through this kind of meditation. This becomes Kirtaniya Sadahari. This becomes the chanting you can always do, you can always feel, and you can share with others as you engage them. Raise your hand, exciting or not? Gauranga. So we'll kick the video in. Hari Shyam Prabhu is going to, after the video, just have you guys jump up into groups of four again. Strategize, then come back together, share, and he'll share some concluding words also. A request, please say a prayer for Atharva and his family, Prafullananda Madhava Prabhu, Mother Sri Pad Lalita, and Akshata. These are the devotees, some of you know, Vejarama Restaurant, a very wonderful leverage project that we have there in Ypsilanti. So this is the family that kicked that off only a year and a half ago. It's been amazingly successful. Devotees drive all the way from Chicago just to have the prasad at Vejarama. So there's no doubt that they're dear to Prabhupada and Krishna, and you all here in Chicago have gone through a lot in terms of devotees very dear to the community leaving this last year also, so I know that you know what that feels like, and I invite you to share your prayers for that family on that side, especially today. Again, thank you very much for your time. Forgive me that I'm going to exit a little short. Hare Krishna.
With me everywhere. Hare Krishna. I remember when I first started carrying Srila Prabhupada's books with me everywhere, I was in an aisle of Walmart, and I distributed a nectar of instruction to a man there, and he gave me a donation. And the enthusiasm and satisfaction and ecstasy I got from that was the same as when I was at an art festival on the street distributing many more books.
There's nothing more disappointing than meeting an interested person and not having some sort of literature to share with them. It's like having an empty quiver. You want to be ready to give something.
One time we were on this great Harinam on campus, and this really enthusiastic person joined us, and he was so attracted to the holy name that he walked with us all the way to the car. I didn't have a book on me personally, so I quickly unlocked the car and scrambled to find one of Prabhupada's books. But I couldn't find a single copy. I felt very disappointed because sometimes we only get one opportunity.
But if we kept the books with us, just a few, anywhere we went, we would have that potential to be an instrument for Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy. So I went out and got myself a small bag, because anyway I carry my wallet with me, anyway I carry my phone with me. And so I can keep a few of Srila Prabhupada's books also in a special pocket. And I keep a few mantra cards, a few pieces of prasadam. And that way anywhere I go, if I meet somebody who's ready to take something transcendental, I'm ready to give it.
And we can't give what we don't have. So always having something with us to give people is a great standard to follow, so that we won't be disappointed.
If he reads one sloka, his life will be such. This is such a nice thing. Therefore, you are stressing so much. Please distribute book, distribute book, distribute.
Hare Krishna. So this is the perverted reflection of Deva Madhava. Sorry. Just unplug it. I'll turn the projector off. There we go. So the plan now is that we can all break up into groups of four. So look around you, find three other people you want to partner with. And let's think of some strategies, along with taking a bag like this. But in what other way can we be an instrument in the Sankirtan mission? So why don't we just do that now? And we'll do this for about 7 minutes. So just look around, find three people, think of a few good ideas that you can use following Deva Madhava's message of bringing the Sankirtan mission from where you're at, whether you're a student, a professional, a business owner, whatever you do in life, how can you be involved in Prabhupada's Sankirtan mission? So, does everybody have a team? Is everybody part of a team? Yes? No? Is somebody not in a team? Soumya Mataji, you have some people? All four of you are there? Okay, good. Kirti, what about you? You have, okay, the three of you. Take your mom in your group also. Okay, let's start. Hare Krishna. Maybe let's take 30 seconds to just wrap up. If somebody in your group hasn't spoken, encourage them to speak. Okay, so if somebody in the group has been quiet this whole time, just everybody turn to them and say, okay, now you go. You say something about on this topic of how you can support the Sankirtan mission from where you're at. Okay, let's just do that for 30 seconds and then we're going to finish up. Hare Krishna. Haribol. Haribol. Can I have everyone's attention, please? Hare Krishna. Okay, Jai. I know we're all, Haribol Prabhu. Sorry. And this is we should carry this afterwards also. We should carry this on. But we have a schedule to keep. And I know everyone's feeling a little bit of separation from Deva Madhava, myself included. I was really looking forward to spending more time with him. But just for his pleasure and the pleasure of the organizers, let's finish this last session with So I'm going to call upon two or three Prabhus and two or three Matajis. And if you can share what was discussed in your group, something that you all came up with, or some, maybe even some idea that before we take a part in the Sankirtan mission from where we're at, there's certain things we have to overcome, certain hiccups we have to go through. So why don't we do this? We'll start with a Mataji, and then we'll go to a Prabhu, and then we'll start with another Mataji and go to another Prabhu. Okay, so does one Mataji from one particular group want to speak about something that was discussed in the group that was interesting or inspiring or important? Someone? Do we have a second mic? Okay. Our dear Atma Ram Prabhu is going to run the mic to this group over here. Right over here.
So, for me as a student, so I'm a student at a college. So, I could invite people to the Bhakti Yoga Club that we have at the university, like as a friend, and I feel like that would make people more comfortable than if like an adult told them, because they would feel more connected with me. And another thing was talking to new people in the temples, so that they feel more connected, because many might feel like left out if everyone's in their own groups. But if like I talk to them or other people talk to them, then they will feel they want to come again because they have friends and they feel connected here. And also to give carry prasadam, because even if people aren't ready for books, there most people want prasadam. So giving prasadam, and on like we discussed carrying wherever we go, so if we find someone interested, then we can give them a book.
That's a really beautiful point she just made about relatability. So she's young, she's a student, so she can relate to young students. people that come to the temple that are brand new, instead of just being in the social circle that you're really comfortable with, you can look around and see, oh, is there somebody here who doesn't know anything about this philosophy or this movement? I can go and connect to them and relate to them. Mahatma Prabhu, if you know Mahatma Prabhu, raise your hand. Anybody know Mahatma Prabhu? He has a really cool saying. He says, engineers can preach to engineers, and housewives can preach to housewives, and students can preach to students, because there's a relatability factor there. So that's a really beautiful point. Thank you. Let's look at the Prabhus here and see if somebody wants to stand up, and or not stand up, but step up and say something.
We were just talking about, I guess, our college program at U of I. We have a Bhakti Yoga Club, and since like now we have a couple more devotees that are coming, it'll be easier to do some more college preaching there.
Krishna, one theme that naturally arose with our group is being a person that people want to know and get to know. You may not feel comfortable. You may not be in an environment where you can do some heavy-handed preaching. But if people get to know you and find you interesting, and you do good work and do service, they'll naturally want to know more about you. And that's a natural opportunity to start to share the message of Mahaprabhu in a way that's relatable and accessible to where you are and where the other person may be and what they're willing to hear at that point.
It's another beautiful point. One thing that goes with you wherever you go is your personality. So even if you don't have any books, you don't have any prasadam, you have your personality. And if you are working on being, like Mataji said so nicely, someone who has a purpose in life, someone who's interesting, someone who's doing something meaningful, then people want to get to know you and connect with you and be friends with you. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he makes it a point that wherever he goes, he tries to connect with someone. Even if he's at a gas station, he'll wave at someone and just say, hi, how are you? You know what I'm saying? It's just this effervescence in his personality. It's not like every opportunity you get, you're going to like, you know, preach Krishna consciousness and tell them about the philosophy of the Gita. It's not exactly always like that. But just having a personality that's open and friendly is actually a great asset in this world. Because when you go to airports, when you go anywhere in the world, everybody's so closed. Everyone's just in their own world, you know. I'll tell you a quick story. I was at Amsterdam airport, had a 12-hour layover, and I had a real desire just to connect with someone. You know, I just felt like everybody's just walking around, nobody's connecting. So it was late at night, everything was shut down. I walk up to a little store, this really young, nice person from Amsterdam says, hey, how are you? And I was like, maybe this is it. And then we just started talking, and we just connected. I didn't speak anything spiritual with him. We just spoke for about an hour and a half. I was basically asking him, like, tell me about your life, what are your goals, what are you trying to do with your life? And somehow, I ended up back at Amsterdam airport 2 months later. We spent 3 hours together. And then he sent me Facebook messages asking me, can you teach me how to meditate? You're a monk, right? So you must know how to meditate. I was like, yeah, I can teach you how to meditate. And now we're like friends. He messages me once a week. He tells me what's going on in his life. And that was just out of a desire to want to connect with someone. I didn't get too spiritual with him, but just friendship. So thank you. That was a very beautiful point. Okay, one last person, and then I have to share a closing message from Deva Madhava. And then I think we're out of time, right? Where is Sundari Radha? Okay, she's outside. I think we're out of time. We'll just share this closing message. One more Prabhu. Does anybody want to go have something burning they want to share? Kyle? Prabhuji? Who are you pointing at? Okay. He's volunteering you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So we discussed different things that we can leverage. So traveling Sankirtan devotees, they are always doing the thing, distributing books, but they think it's a good idea to have, the personal contact information to pass on, or carry some prasadam, like Prabhuji was carrying some lollipop, and some incense. People feel good connected with those, in addition to books. So that's what we discussed. And also, wherever we are, we try to, like the other devotees are saying that, you know, we try to demonstrate by our own good qualities, making friend like you're trying to make friend. And we also shared that, you know, if we are working in some office, displaying Srila Prabhupada's books as far as possible, if it is not very objectionable, so we can have a set of Srila Prabhupada's books, so that way it may be kind of introduction to Srila Prabhupada, so book somebody, new visitor to our office. That way we may also, you know, pass on Srila Prabhupada's books that way.
It seems like everybody's really bought into the idea of carrying prasadam with them, right? Would you agree? It seems like this is the most popular thing, that maybe we should all just carry a little prasadam with us in our cars, in our purses, right? In our side bags. So that's something we can take with us. The closing remark that Deva Madhava wanted me to share with everyone was something that actually Mukunda set me up for. After we finish our little group discussion, he looks at me and says, you know, I think the real problem is I haven't really experienced much in Krishna consciousness, so I don't feel like, what do I have to share that's so wonderful and that's so amazing, right? And that's actually a very honest comment. And Mukunda grew up in the movement, so he's never lived life outside of Krishna consciousness. He doesn't know what he's missing out on. You know what I'm saying? And there's something about having something so valuable just given to us so easily that we don't always appreciate what it is actually. He doesn't know what it's like to not be a devotee. You know? So it's a very honest comment. But it also, I think, relates to those of us who came to Krishna consciousness that we may not have had a very deep experience yet in Krishna consciousness. You know? So we don't always feel like we can share it, but we can share our experiences. We can share what Prabhupada says. We can share what the books are saying. But we can't share much of what we've experienced in Krishna consciousness. So the last point Deva Madhava wanted me to share with everyone was actually the beginning of class. He talked about this idea of Durdaivam, right? Real Trinadapi comes when we feel this mood of Durdaivam, feeling unfortunate. Now, you can only feel unfortunate when you compare yourself to something, right? So say, for example, I'm in downtown Chicago and I see a very, very wealthy person with a lot of money and I have no money. I might feel unfortunate. It's in comparison to someone who has some, the art of chanting with deep absorption, the art of worshipping with absorption, the art of studying Bhagavatam with absorption, because it is that experience of absorption that we feel sometimes that will give us a glimpse of what real Krishna consciousness can be like. Then when we think about people like Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, we'll feel unfortunate because we'll have some idea of what they have in a much bigger way. And we'll feel like, wow, like I haven't yet experienced this depth in Krishna consciousness. But I got a glimpse. I got a little bit of glimpse. And that little bit of glimpse was so nice, I want others to also experience that little bit of glimpse. You see what I'm saying? So our spiritual practice, our sadhana, our bhajan, can become like a launching board into our preaching when we have that kind of mindset. That, oh, I experienced something. I had a little bit of experience, so I know what real Krishna consciousness must be like. Right? I know what the real thing must be like because I've experienced a little bit of it here in my own practice. So I want to give others that little bit that I've experienced, hoping that someday others and myself will experience the fullness of what Krishna consciousness is all about. So that's why this mood of, you know, this feeling of feeling unfortunate. But you can only feel unfortunate when you've experienced something in comparison to something else. You follow what I'm saying? So that's why our experiences in spiritual life are very, very important if we want to share, you know, the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again, I'm sorry that you had to tolerate me for the last 20 minutes. This was Deva Madhava. He came, initially he wanted me to do a whole presentation. And I said, no way. Like, you do 20 minutes and then you go. He might leave his body, we'll pray for him, but you do the first 20 minutes, you know. And so at least we got some of Deva Madhava's time. Thank you so much for being a part of this presentation. Hopefully, he also wanted me to share that he really hopes that this is something practical and useful for each and every one of you, that some of these points stick, and that when we leave this temple room, you actually make some determination that, okay, you know, I'll carry some prasadam. Those of you who are married, if your wife isn't working, you can tell her, like, can you make some dried nuts, pack them into little bags, I can take them to work with me, I can keep them in the car. You know, something simple. Lollipops, it's a very easy solution. So hopefully you can make some practical steps towards being a part of this. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Can we have a loud Hari Bol for Hari Shyam Prabhu for stepping up? He literally heard about this like 3 minutes before 3:30 and he stepped up. So very grateful to you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for doing that. We just actually got news that the Prabhu actually passed away. So we're going to actually dedicate our Nam Yagya later on to praying for this soul and devotee, Atharva Prabhu, I believe. But we actually have a